Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
Agree on all counts. Hello, motherfucker, son of a bitch. God damn it. Hi, I'm Cody Johnston.
Get those curse words in now before we get to our ad break. It's got to be like 30 seconds. No ad, no curses.
Fuck that.
Fuck yeah. Eat shit. Joining us today, again, is writer, director, and co-host of the podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, Shireen Lani Yunus.
Wow. Bow, 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 bow. That's me. Hi. Hello. Thanks for having me back. Hello.
Oh, gosh. Thrilled to have you back.
Thank you.
I was just gushing before we officially started recording about how much I like you. And yes, Cody pointed out this is turning into a podcast where I invite people on that I want to be friends with.
I mean, what else? What's the point otherwise? You know,
like, I don't know how to make friends anymore.
Are we doing this?
If you're going to talk to someone,
to make friends.
If you're going to talk to someone, make it someone you want to talk to.
Also, life is busy. So, like, why don't we kill two birds with one stone here? Chat and hang out and also record content.
Content. It's always about content. The content. Yeah.
All about the content in the metaverse.
Rate and review.
Yes.
Actually, please do rate and review. That's helping us a lot.
No, but I feel cool that you want me on. This is a cool show. Y'all are cool. It's a fun time.
There's the teenage version of me, like the little girl inside me was just like, you think our show is cool?
I mean, any show that thinks, I mean, honestly, if you think I'm cool, you're cool. You know,
that's how it works.
I just
that's
want people to think I'm cool and funny. And then I can then think about if it's the old, like the vice versa, you know.
So this is the point in the show where we call out the holiday.
We're calling you out, holidays.
We're calling you out, holidays. Veterans Day is on blast. We're calling you out, Veterans Day.
But also, like, we should, though. Because I don't know if you guys saw what the judge, what's-his-face, did in the Rittenhouse.
Oh, boy, yes.
Yeah, so.
Oh, we're going to dive into that for sure.
About Veterans Day. Like,
I was surprised. In my mind, Veterans Day shouldn't be on a Thursday in the middle of the week.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, normally the holidays that we take off or, you know, a Monday or a Friday thing? You know, who's enjoying their Thursday off and then going back to work on Friday, you know?
That's a good point. I wonder what it is about 11/11 then.
Because that's when
Make a wish.
World War One ended.
Thank you,
John. On the 11th hour of the 11th month of the 11th or day of the 11th month, I think.
I mean, that's been a very easily Googleable fact. So thank you for filling me in.
But I would be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge that today isn't just Veterans Day. It's also National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day. So I'm assuming
you
that includes pineapple.
I'm not lying.
That's a real holiday on tomorrow, actually, November 12th.
Oh, okay.
How do these days happen? How?
Shireen, I'm going to be honest and say that I don't think they do happen. I don't. I think that they just, people make it up.
Yeah, but then how does it proliferate into the zeitgeist that, like, oh, look, this day is cinnamon bun day.
I think that I take part of that responsibility.
Wow.
Because I choose to acknowledge them.
If someone writes a blog post once that says this day is a specific day, then the national day calendar, where I go every week to look things up, writes them down, and then they exist in perpetuity forever.
Katie, it's your fault. You're the one reaffirming this absurd day holiday bullshit. Wow, I understand everything now.
If our listeners were ever to rise up and tell me, Katie, we're sick of this, I would listen because I don't feel good about it. But I have to be honest, when we started this show, Cody and I, we just didn't know. I was like, how do I start it? How do I start this thing? And I looked on Twitter and it was National Whatever Day. And so I did it. And then every week it was just like an icebreaker for me, just for myself. And now we're like, it's been about 4 years.
Now it's the whole show.
Celebrate National Whatever
Now
Day.
It's the whole show.
And now it's the whole show. But it's just hard to break with tradition. And I'm self-conscious about it. I am. I'm not sure if I'm doing a service for the world.
I think you should bring that up to your therapist.
To my therapist and not on the show.
I mean, podcasting does feel like therapy sometimes, so I understand. But
it does.
I have been looking up the origin of this stupid fucking day. and I can't find anything reasonable or detailed about it.
Are you talking about National Pizza with the Works except Anchovies Day?
No, I'm talking about Veterans Day. Yeah. because it's not on the day, the calendar of the site that you were talking about. It just describes what anchovies are and how many species of anchovy there is.
Does it go, ew, yuck? And,
but like, it's like to save the... Okay, history of pizza with the works except Anchovies Day. Pizza with the works except Anchovies Day, a sentence I'll never say again, came into existence from pure common sense. There's a lot of people out there who will foolishly and naively choose to order their pizza with the works. Never think for a moment that there's a madman out there perfectly willing and capable of putting anchovies on a per... Like, there's no... It doesn't say, like, well, the pizza companies got together and made this day. Or, like, Papa John was like, we need a day. It just says, yeah, obviously there's this day.
That's what I mean.
It sounds
Someone just decided.
It sounds personal. You know? Yep. Someone had one... One person had one experience.
I mean, this one person writing this article.
Yes.
I take issue with it.
So they started the daysoftheyear.com to complain about it.
Well, yes.
What are you? Wikipedia? Can anybody upload an entry? Get out of here.
That's what Where's it feels my- like.
Jonathan
should
nodding,
make
yes.
a holiday. We should make a holiday and get it on this calendar somehow.
Okay, Jonathan, that's a task.
I guarantee you it's easier than we think. Like, it has to be. Like, if a moron can make it a pizza whatever the fuck day, I'm sorry.
It whatever. Also doesn't matter if there's already a holiday. It's just fair game.
Yeah. Look at that. Look Veterans Day. Oh, you said it was tomorrow, though. The pizza thing.
The pizza day is tomorrow. Today is Veterans Day.
But again, there's no
bad
rhyme or reason to why November 12th is all of these things either.
Yeah, I think that maybe they went for the 11th and they were like, yeesh, it's Veterans Day.
We don't want
to probably not. We need
Give
to spread
them a
out the joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shireen, I've got some questions for you.
Sorry, I have one more.
Oh wait, cut me saying that. Right. Cut me saying that. And
no, it's fine. It's fine. It's just important breaking news. Although there is no factual origin of this codless pizza day, and people continue to wonder about its origin, it does not mean this day cannot still be celebrated.
It's like
that's the information.
It's like people, it's okay. Enjoy pizza. Don't let us not tell you to. On every other day.
I agree. I agree that you don't put anchovies on your pizza, but I agree that I don't. I'll leave it at
no,
that.
No, commit. I also agree. Anchovies don't belong on pizza.
No, of course not.
Neither do pineapples, so, but I'm going to stop
there. I know. We've got to move on to other things, but I just have to say that my aunt claims to have invented pineapple pizza. Whenever it comes up, I have to throw that out there. She owned a couple of Pizza Hut franchises in like the 60s. She's my dad's aunt. Okay. Anyway, too much information. They put pineapple pizza on the menu and it took off. Wow. But she's also not trustworthy. Shireen, I always like to check in with our guests before we get into the news.
Sam Panopoulos, a Greek-born Canadian, created the first Hawaiian pizza at this satellite restaurant.
You.
Chatham, Ontario, Canada.
We're gonna start National They Stole My Great Aunt's Idea for Pineapple
That's
Pizza
the one.
Day.
That's
although
the
to
one.
Be fair, Hawaiian pizza is pineapple and ham, not just pineapple pizza. So
that's fair.
Wiggle room there.
Okay. I would ask her, but she's not alive anymore.
Oh well.
Sorry. I made this dark.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to go see a medium to make this happen.
Yes. That's
medium
gonna be
pizza
fun.
With pineapple on it.
Right. Oh boy, we are just all full right. of zingers. Yeah. You took part in a live stream last week to raise money for a 2022 California Assembly candidate, Fatima Iqbal Zubair. We were just curious how that went and how you got involved and maybe a little bit about the candidate.
Fatima is for sure.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
This is a podcast. So I co-host a podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous. In like 2019, probably, we were aware of this woman that was wearing a hijab that was running for a cabinet seat in like local LA. And we kept seeing her like handles on social media and whatever. And we were like, who is this lady? She seems so cool. And then we learned her story. She's a former teacher. She's a mom and all this stuff, and now she's a fucking badass. She was always a badass, but like, so I mean, like, so eventually, I mean, long story short, we got her on the show. We learned more about her story. She, her family immigrated here. She's a Muslim. She like is a literal scientist, and then she became a teacher at Watts, and she taught chemistry and environmental studies, and then her experience there, and like realizing like how local level, like, politics were just, like, so ignored, led her to run. And so she ran, and unfortunately she lost, but she's running again now. And so that fundraiser, the live reading, was just a fundraiser to raise money for her campaign. So yeah, and she voiced the Sultan. It was an Aladdin live reading.
I was gonna say, wait, what did you read? That's such a good idea. Yeah. What a creative and fun way to
just to get people engaged, you know, and
get people engaged, raised awareness,
and also, like, show that she's like a human that wants to interact with her.
That's really, really cool that you guys are using your platform in that.
Oh, no, it wasn't mine. It wasn't me and my co-host.
It's really cool that you're participating in someone else's platform in that. It's great that you were working with Bechdelcast.
Yeah. Shout out to Bechdelcast.
I love that.
Today's their 5-year anniversary of the whole show. So I think that's pretty cool. Shout out to them. They're both two of the most amazing people I've ever met in LA, let alone like my whole life. But yeah, so they brought us all together.
Caitlin on here too.
Oh, yeah.
We've had Jamie on, but not. I think that's really special, really cool. Love that. I've been thinking a lot about, you know, just the smaller local elections that we can get involved in and just how that's the future, how we're it's obviously clear, but increasingly so that on a national level, politics is very untenable and impossible to create substantive change. So whenever I see people rallying around awesome candidates at the local level, I'm like, yep, that's the way that we need to spend our energy.
Yeah, that's how change is more possible that way. Like, you can see change and experience it more possible that way, and then it makes other change seem reachable, you know, I think. And also just, if someone's going to be a leader, I don't want them to all look like the same old white guy. Like, I want people to actually represent the people. Like, I never thought there would be like a hijabi lady like in politics ever. And then we have a couple now. So it's like, and it's like my family. It's like this weird connection where it's like you feel seen in a different way. And I think it's very important, because otherwise the important decision making is reserved for like just the wrong demographic.
Absolutely. That's how we get
don't
here.
Don't necessarily understand the problems of everybody in their
and
in their districts.
Clearly refuse to understand as well.
Yes,
you know, for a variety of reasons, which we get into a lot on this show. But yeah, and of course the representation of you know, seeing somebody that you relate to that reflects your cultural heritage, and letting that be an inspiration for different ways that you yourself can get involved and to see that it's possible. And
even for people that necessary. Aren't of that. Yeah. And even for people that aren't of that ethnicity or background or whatever.
Yeah.
It's good for them to see someone like that in charge and in power, because the images and projections that society puts on every single group is how we define them. So if there's another image where like they're exactly like you writing in office, whatever, I think it's just pivotal. So I really respect her. And but I will say, like, just like in general, like how I've been doing, I hate to say that my mental health has improved, because I feel like that is just rude to say, but it's because I'm just like very consciously not looking at the news. So when you asked me to come on the show, I was like, oh no, I have to know what happened. So I have to understand what happened recently. And for my mental health, I mean, it's a luxury to avoid it, obviously. When I was going through the list of what you guys were talking about, literally every single thing was like, what is happening? Like, how is this happening? I was just catching up on the most absurd shit. And thank you for that.
You're welcome. First off, I don't think it's at all rude or anything, I can't remember the word to use, to mention your mental health and what's working well for you in helping
it. But like, it's also like everyone's doing shit. And that's fine. And I'm doing less shit. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm doing great. Hasn't happened in like 15 years, but like I'm doing less bad, you know?
Yeah, less bad is good. And then,
less bad is good. I think
people
that's
listening
a
might be like, how do I feel less bad? Don't listen to the news.
Yeah.
Except for
this podcast. Really important. I feel that way too. I have to be very disciplined with myself. I have to say, these are the times that I'm ingesting news. Mm-hmm. I rely on my team more. I rely on Jonathan, having a producer here to help with research. I mean,
bless you, Jonathan.
Bless you, Jonathan. I just, credit where credit's due. Because it is unsustainable. And there will be a time when I've felt more rested where you can dive back in with a different kind of an energy, but you have got to be really tapped in and honest with yourself.
Yeah. There is anxiety that, like, well, I mean, do you feel this anxiety? Like, if you're kind of MIA, even if I try my hardest to not let it affect me, I have to, like, again, this anxiety of, like, what am I missing? Like, what is this Twitter thread everyone's talking about? And what is this? What is that?
For sure.
And I mean, I don't know. I think the best way for me, the best days are the days where I forget I have a phone. So it's like making yourself busy enough in the real world in the present moment, if you're able to, obviously, if you have the privilege to busy yourself with things that, like, you can just forget that your phone exists. So, yeah.
Well, it's a meditative
for a while. For a long time, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
And things were okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not really, but, you know.
Think that the quest is for peace, finding your moments of peace, however that looks, gardening, talking to people, going for a walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Just sitting on the couch, staring into space. I don't know, whatever.
They call that meditating. It's a thing. It's fine.
It is a thing. I was telling somebody, sorry, one thing, and then I'll go to the news. I was saying, like, yeah, gosh, I have to meditate more. I really think it'll be good for me. And then I was like, I do sit on the couch and stare into space a lot. And it was like,
you're nailing it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, still counts.
That
still counts.
Is meditating. I'm like, right. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm good at that then.
Hi. Thanks for meeting me here. I want to talk to your kids. You don't have to go get them. You can just write down everything I say and give it to them later. See, I want to talk about ID Tech, the only STEM educator with 22 years of camp traditions. The best way to learn something is to make it fun, right? That's why I stick pieces of candy on people whose names I'm trying to remember. And with ID Tech, your kids will be able to fill learning gaps and explore topics not traditionally covered in school, be able to advance quickly, and do so while having fun. And right now, ID Tech is offering your kids a deal to save $150 on weekly small group semesters, or get started on a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49. ID Tech teaches courses in coding, design, game development, and even robotics. Their curriculum is developed in partnership with top universities like MIT and tech icons like Roblox and Minecraft. It's a great way to get your kid interested in STEM knowledge that will help them for the rest of their life. And you can go to idtech.com/morenews right now and use code MORENEWS to save $150 for weekly small group semesters. For a limited time, you can also get started with a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49. That's code MORENEWS at idtech.com/morenews to save $150, and your child can start learning online from a live instructor right now. idtech.com/morenews.
Look, we all love supporting the post office, but sometimes there's just too much to do if you've got a lot of mail to ship or, for some reason, a bulk order of fish face figurines. And that's where Stamps.com comes in. Think of it like using the stairs versus the elevator. The stairs are great for a few floors, sure, but you're not going to walk up 30 flights a day, am I right? And again, they save you so much time and money, not to mention that if you sign up with promo code MORENEWS, you will get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click at the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MORENEWS. But don't steal the fish face idea, because that's Katie's idea. You got it? Anyway, let's talk about some news. Make the torture we subjected you worth it?
Yeah. Yikes.
Oh, yikes. Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand this week. That's right. He has testified in his defense. He testified in his defense on Wednesday in the shooting of 3 people back in August 2020. 2 of those people died, in case you forgot. And I don't know. There's a lot to talk about here. I think I would like to start with the performative nature of his testimony. You guys saw the clips? Well, that's mostly it. It seemed to have worked for a lot of people, but I think, well, it depends on what your opinions are when you came in.
Did it work?
For the people that wanted to believe it.
Ugh. What was that?
That's what's hard.
What was that?
It was bad acting, is what it was.
It was the worst possible portrayal of crying I've ever seen. I was so confused. I was kind of avoiding a lot of things, and so I watched so many videos of that trial, and I wasn't surprised by that point by the judge being like, "Oh, this poor child, let's take a 10-minute recess." Because the judge is like auditioning for his fucking Supreme Court seat they will probably get in like 2025. At least try if you're gonna, like, you know what I mean? Like, at least
at
try.
Least bring one of those tear sticks, man.
Yeah.
Or just be straightforward and
just be straight.
Say it, and like, you can be somber
exactly.
without sort of
exactly. That's a good point.
Doing that sort of thing, because like, you know, it's fucked up. Like, yeah, he has all these things. Like, yeah, he said he was. Yeah, I want to shoot those shoplifters or whatever. But like, it's fucked up having done that. Having actually done that. He's young. Like, I imagine even if you're in that space of like, I'm gonna go protect things. I'm gonna go shoot a person. Like. Yeah, it can fuck you up. You killed two people.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing to play a video game, and it's another thing to actually follow through and, like, kill a human being.
Yeah. I, you know, can't imagine, like, the damage that actually does. But yeah, it was a little much. I don't know.
It was nauseating.
There was also that specific moment where he gives like a look to the jury. It's very clear.
There's a little clear look. There.
Like, yeah. are they eating it up? You guys mentioned the judge. I think there's more to mention there.
Of course,
about the judge. It's incredibly frustrating. A bunch of things have occurred that we're gonna run through right now. The judge's phone rang.
Oh my god!
Asking for a mistrial, and his ringtone. You guys, was God Bless America.
Yeah, Trump's rally theme song.
God Bless the USA, I should.
God Bless the USA, I'm sorry. That's right, you wrote it for me.
Show some respect to Mr. Greenwood.
Well, it's just that there's a big difference because God Bless the USA is the really over-the-top,
right.
proud to be an American.
God Bless America is God Bless. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So God Bless the USA is like, well, that's your...
But that was...
Right,
that was
right,
Trump's theme song when he was rallying. So it's like, I honestly think it was on purpose. I think he like, who doesn't turn?
There's too many things happening
very,
that
like,
it can't be. Yeah,
yeah, he's a judge. although I have seen like the one thing I've seen a lot of like lawyer Twitter talk about with this is that this is not like an outlier. Like, there's a sect of like of lawyer Twitter's. Whenever something like this happens, they're always like, it's very funny to see people realize how fucked our like judicial system is and like how like all these judges are and how lawyers are. Like, we all suck. It is like, I mean, it's definitely performative on his part. It seems like he knows what's going on. And like,
oh, yeah, he's playing like Jeopardy with the jurors.
But it is not like out of the ordinary for just like, yeah, judges suck.
I think a lot of people are seeing this happen in real time. And then they'll forget about it. But this is not, of course, even the most egregious of things that have happened. he has made several decisions all along that very strongly indicates that he favors the defense. Reminder that at the beginning here, he decided that victims can't be referred to as victims.
Exactly.
They can only be referred to as rioters or looters.
And shoplifters and like, you know what I mean? So there's a clear bad guy.
Clear bad guy. Even though we do not know what those people necessarily were doing, we're not able to talk about them. We're talk to them about that.
In what world do you not use the objective term in a fucking courtroom setting? Like, we're taught to believe this room that is just bullshit is supposed to be this objective, neutral place. And it's completely, I mean, like, again, like, it's probably not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise at this point anyway. But I would think, at least because it's being televised, there would be a little bit of an attempt to try to be like, we're good. We're balanced. But nope.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about, like, also, I've seen a lot of, too, of, like, this is the kind of behavior that, to some degree, in certain situations, you would... want like the sympathy that is very clear from the bench towards the defendant, and it's the kind of thing that doesn't actually happen in our judicial system usually, this sort of like deference to the defense and like, you know, the mercy of the court. Mm-hmm. And that's not really existent for a lot of people in similar situations or different situations. Usually
certainly
not white people.
Definitely. Exactly. People of color certainly don't get that luxury very often.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing where like, you know, we're always talking about like, you know, the system's fucked and like we want like, you know, abolish prisons and police reform and all this sort of stuff. Like, and this is like an example of like some of that in practice, but for this like very transparent reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't translate to other situations and other cases.
Yeah.
But I'm, yeah. I don't know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just like,
no, I agree with you completely. Other things that are very important that have happened at the judge's behest. He barred the prosecution from bringing up the free as fuck shirt. Which, if you guys don't know, he on his 18th birthday, he went out to have a beer with his parents, which I guess you can do when you're 18.
And white.
Was photographed wearing a free as fuck t-shirt. This is, of course, after he murdered those people. Mm-hmm. So interesting. Not exactly how I picture somebody that's traumatized and full of contrition, but you know, he's not. Or how there was a video a few weeks earlier of him saying he'd wished he'd had his rifle so that he could shoot people that he thought were shoplifters coming out of a CVS.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. That was a whole mess.
But that's allowed to be in the trial.
Well, it's like, it's the kind of thing, like, it seems to be, and like, I'm trying to find more information about it, because like, every lawyer has a different opinion on this.
Sure.
Because evidence law is kind of fucked, and just like, the way these things happen are very complicated. Of course it is. And apparently, like, there's something where, like, you can't bring up, like, stuff like that as evidence for, like, to, like, prove, like, a propensity for, like, bad conduct, unless the defense brings up something similar to talk about like their good conduct. Mm-hmm. So
it's so stupid.
I mean, but also it seems to be like there's precedent for like throwing all of that out.
Right.
And like using this as evidence for like, yeah, he said he wanted to shoot those people and he was going to this place to defend property from shoplifters. So like it is completely relevant. I think there are like different scenarios where it's sorry,
it feels like, because you know, you can imagine a bunch of dumb 17-year-olds being like, want to shoot those people, and they don't, like that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, but
right,
like, it's relevant when one of them then goes a couple weeks later and then shoots some
people.
Like I feel like the relevance
that
again,
is intent that is like
in the context of defending property
or trying to give medical aid. Like, are you shitting me? I mean, it's sad because the prosecutor, I think, is doing the best job he could, and he's caught him in several lies, one of them being that he didn't administer any medical aid to a single person, the other one being that he, this one, I can't believe he lied about, he didn't know afterwards that his name and picture were on the news, like, he didn't know he was, like, being, you know what I mean? Like, I just, that's, are you kidding me? Like, he's like, oh, I don't recall. It's like, the most probably life-changing day of your life, it should be. You don't remember that everyone was fucking talking about you?
Come on.
Well, and he loved that he was like a right-wing
of course he did.
He ate it up.
Yeah, there's that photo. Yeah, the free as fuck shirt. Like,
the free as fuck shirt.
Leaning into it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
so yeah, it seems like there's a... Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
In case people missed that, we have... Written in the House is caught in a lie on camera saying that he was an EMT... But
exactly,
if he was there to be an EMT,
that's another.
Why didn't you administer first aid after you shot somebody?
Yeah. And you're not an EMT. You know
but also,
I mean?
You're
like,
not an EMT.
That's the other lie.
It's just a lie. And of course, all of this, you know, the conversation about the trial, like, look, he's probably going to be acquitted.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, because of technicalities, this, the obvious prejudice in the courtroom, all of the different things. But the conversation that's actually important is completely glossed over, which is why was he there? crossed state lines, brought a gun. He's not just some person that's walking down the street that got caught up in more than he intended. He actively was seeking trouble.
Yeah.
He
and
was
the prosecutor
creating
was getting
trouble.
He, was, he kept asking him, like, and his was just like, oh, I wanted to give help to people. I wanted to give medical aid. And the prosecutor kept going. I just think it's the
all those
of the
EMTs that carry around AR-15s when they're on the job.
Yeah. Also, he got the gun because it looks cool. Like, come on. I just, it's annoying how unsurprising it will be when he gets acquitted. Like, it's what a sad reality of our society that it's not going to be surprising that a murderer is just going to be fine. But I don't know.
I like this tweet. Jonathan, I like tweets. Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, this one. It's from at Respectable Law on Twitter. Legally speaking, Rittenhouse's case is tough because there is so much statutory latitude for people to use deadly force and put themselves in a position to benefit from that. Maybe he didn't even break our fucked up laws, but something truly insidious is happening in this trial. And I think that's very eloquent and true.
Well, especially if you go back to the judge thing, it's not only, I mean, there's a reason why this is happening. I think it would be completely different if the judge was a different person, if he was more balanced, if the evidence law wasn't completely just bizarre and stupid. It blows my mind how these people in power, like literal judges, politicians, all these people, just their agenda is so clear. And I, like, the judge was like cracking jokes with the jurors. He like treated the prosecution like a child and like reprimanded him like as if he was a baby. And just I don't know. I don't
it's
have
hard
a point
to believe
in this, but
it's I know. It's I mean, it's hard to watch and have faith in our judicial system.
No, I mean, it well, just it proves like that it's all bullshit. I feel like it just proves that that doesn't exist. There's no fair and balanced anything. There, like, that's the reality we have to accept. Like, law and justice are made up and they're in fantasy land somewhere. That's, I mean, it's maybe it's sad to think about it that way, but that's fucking reality. Look the fuck around. I don't know.
Yeah, look at, and yeah, other cases, they're like,
I mean, this is why people feel the need to go take to the street to protest in a way that can't be ignored because everything gets wiped under, swept under the rug. Also, yeah, remember that this whole thing, the protests, riots, whatever, are because, you know, Jacob Blake got shot 7 times in the back. Oh, fun detail about that, the self-defense argument. One of the people was shot in the back. The fatal shot was in the back. That is not self-defense.
And he didn't have
someone
a gun on him.
Someone was running away from you.
He wasn't armed.
Which is what, obviously, Rittenhouse wants to be.
Right.
The step-by-step step vigilante. Of this, it's like the whole... I'm trying to think of the point where it would become self-defense. Because, like, you know, there's one guy with a gun. The other guy doesn't have the gun. Even if he's, like, walking towards you and you're walking away or something... Then you turn and you point the gun at him. If he then like swats away the gun or grabs the gun and you shoot the gun, I don't see how that's self-defense because you've had a gun pointed at you. Yeah. So your reaction is going to be to get that gun to not be pointed
gun
at you.
Gun he didn't own.
A lot of subjectivity too. It's very frustrating to see too because like we're talking about that with the judge. Like the case can be made for self-defense. Case can be made that he went there to like shoot people.
Yeah.
And if the judge is like... doing all the things we've talked about, or saying Happy Veterans Day. Are there any veterans in the courtroom?
Oh
no!
Yeah.
Only the next witness for the defense. Let's applaud the next witness for the defense. Then it just becomes very clear that like the you know it's we know this like the law is very subjective, and it depends on who's in the courtroom at the time.
Yeah,
it depends on who was voted for to be the fucking judge. Like those elections really matter.
And I think they gave themselves a pat on the back when they dismissed that juror that like made a racist joke. But what I'm thinking is like, he made a racist joke to other people. You know what I mean? Like there are other, you know what I mean? That's another
listening
level.
To it that were receptive to that joke.
Exactly. So it's like, that's not enough. It's, I don't know. Nothing is enough, but I just can't stop thinking about how like in 25 years, Kyle Rittenhouse will like have a podcast and a book and just like, you know, that's
a
their...
lucrative TV career. Yeah. Or something.
Well, and after years of, you know, people with guns going to these events is not the right word for it. But these situations where they expect violence and sort of get to live out this fantasy of protecting property by killing people. When he gets acquitted, that will be a message to people that it is okay to do that.
But I mean, like, look forward to.
Yeah,
I can't imagine Rittenhouse being like, "Well, this was all worth it because that Starbucks is now fine." Mm. You know, there was no windows broken at the Target.
Why, hey there! Quick question. How did you get into my house? How dare you! Wait, no, don't leave. I get so lonely in the night. And speaking of security and also doing things alone at night, sometimes I need to do stuff on the internet that requires incognito mode. No need to get into it. Nothing circus related. But did you know that incognito mode isn't actually all that incognito? What I mean is that no matter what you might do, your internet service provider can still see every website you visit, even the ones you deleted from your browsing history. That's not good. I don't like that. That's why when I'm at home browsing stuff, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. Look, if you're not like me, internet service providers in the United States simply love to sell your information to ad companies. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so that your ISPs don't know what sites you visit. It's available on all your devices, keeps your information safe and secure, and runs seamlessly in the background so you don't even have to think about it. And right now, you can get 3 months free on a 1-year package by visiting expressvpn.com/somenews. That's expressvpn.com/somenews. expressvpn.com/somenews to learn more. Starve them of your precious, totally not incriminating or clown related data and try it today.
Hey, listen here, it's Katie. Are you tired? I get tired. Ever since I found that glowing rock, I get tired all the time. I often drink coffee, you know, to not be tired, but sometimes I get a little bored with the same coffee every day. Nothing against my usual coffee, but often I look out the window and I think about all the coffees I could be enjoying. And then I look over and the rock is somewhat closer to me, which is weird because I don't think I moved the rock. Anyway, I want to tell you about Trade, a coffee delivery service that will bring you the best coffee right to your front door. You can go on their website and take their coffee quiz designed to match you with the best possible choice to fit your taste. They have over 400 craft coffees to pick from and will send you a freshly roasted bag as often as you'd like. Wow! Trade is so sure that you'll love the first match that if you don't like it, they'll even replace it for free. You can give them feedback in real time so that their coffee matches evolve as your taste does. Just like how the rock I found seems to be subtly evolving. Did I mention that my partner with over 55 US-based roasters who are committed to ethical and sustainable sourcing? That's pretty important. And for our listeners and watchers, right now, Trade is offering your first bag free and $5 off your bundle at checkout. To get yours, go to drinktrade.com/morenews and use promo code morenews. Take the quiz to start your journey to the perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/morenews, promo code morenews for your first bag free and $5 off your bundle. All hail Space Rock!
Let's talk about Paul Gossers.
Mark Paul Gossers, weird tweet.
When I watched this video for the first time yesterday, I feel like I'm in an alternate reality. I mean, this whole fucking universe, nothing surprises me anymore. It shouldn't, because the most bizarre things are just real life. But this is another level, like an anime crossover.
Okay, just in case people don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to set this up. Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, reminder, he's a guy who said that the Charlottesville white supremacist rally was a false flag. Also, you know, perpetuating lies that the 2020 election was stolen, etc. That kind of guy. Anyway, he posted an altered video from the anime Attack on Titan to Twitter this week, which depicted him killing AOC and waving swords at Joe Biden. I guess it took footage from the show and then intercut it, added the faces, intercut it with footage of Custom and Border Patrol agents. Disgusting. Yeah. You know, don't worry though, Nancy Pelosi called for an investigation, which is basically, and you know, and they're gonna try to censure him on Friday, which is basically just saying, shame on you, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
You're naughty, bad boys.
Right, it's even ignoring like the AOC.
We don't joke like that.
All, Like, yeah. It's still just like the hordes of the outsiders are coming for us. Like this fear mongering, like, propaganda.
Well, like, I don't know if you guys have watched anime. I've seen the show because I'm a fucking dork. But like the actual show itself, aside from all of this, like it's like the favorite anime of the alt-right, essentially. And the author of it has been criticized for like agreeing with these like Nazi-ish ideals. And so it's already this this like rallying cry.
It's very pointed, isn't it?
Yes. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just so bizarre.
This is silly, his response. This is the least important thing of the entire situation. But he, in response to this, posted his another meme. And it's the, the crying, like, Reddit guy. And then that, the fucking Chad Nordic yes guy. Talking to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the crying is like, your cartoon, you're spelled wrong. Your cartoon anime scares me with your jetpack flying and lightsabers. First of all, completely ignoring like the problem, which is like a standard
thing.
What
the actual problem was?
Yeah, they love to do that, obviously. But then the response from the Chad guy is, it's a cartoon, relax. And it tickles me a lot because it's such a like a misuse of the meme. It's like, old guy, like, going like
conservatives two, are bad like, at two comedy
step, it's like two steps farther than it needs to be,
because
like the whole point is that it's like very short, it's a short response that like says everything you need to. It's like yes or like it's a cartoon, but like it's a cartoon, relax. It's like implicitly that's already there with the format of the meme. You don't need to have so many words to explain what you're doing, which I guess is what I'm doing right now. I just thought that was very funny. Unimportant. Katie, you can talk about more important things now.
I don't know if it's more important. But Twitter said that the tweet violated its rules on hateful conduct, but left it up as it may be in the public's interest for it to remain available.
Epic response from Twitter. Awesome. Good.
Nice. Nice.
Paul Gosar.
Glad that we have those community guidelines. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Twitter, one of the first Twitter Blue subscribers.
They're like, we can't take this guy's tweet down. He's one of our first Twitter Blue subscribers. He pays $4 a month or whatever that
we can undo his tweets.
Undo it.
Yeah. Twitter Blue is another thing that I came back to the internet and I was like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, that's fun for you.
Yeah. It's just,
The main thing that I first thought when I saw this, and then we'll move on. Not the main thing. There's lots of things I thought, but if this happened in any other workplace other than the United States government, this person would have been fired so fucking fast. But our government operates in such a way that there just aren't consequences for the majority of criminal activity that they get up to.
Yeah,
which is a lot of it.
Yeah,
all the time.
That applies to so many things in politics. Yeah, like if it happened anywhere else, it would destroy.
Yeah, yeah. Just like if blank happened anywhere else at any other job.
Exactly.
So we all have to like, it's upsetting.
It's upsetting and silly. That's the thing. The frustrating thing about it, because like, whatever. It doesn't
matter. Like, yes, we know you were joking. Like, we get it. We're not. Like,
yeah, we get it. We know. Like, you don't need to like.
It's a fucking anime.
Oh, you're triggered. You're mad because of wokeness. It's like, no, you're just like doing this weird like joke threat.
Yeah.
And like, we're not like. I don't know.
I guess I actually take that back. It's not just anime, because this anime in particular, I feel like, is pretty dangerous, because it makes this, it's formed this brotherhood of like fascist idiots that are equating this, like, it's like, and the animation is pretty sick. I'm not going to lie. It's like a beautiful little thing. It's fucking manga and anime or whatever, but it's dangerous because when someone like that posts it, or anyone posts it, it's like a rallying cry for more people to be like, this is cool. When.
Right.
It's anyway, that's what I'm gonna say.
I'm glad you're
rambling
said it.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Are there alt-right messages in the anime, like in the episodes?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not in the episodes, like not like American alt-right. It's not like that explicit. It's more just like fascist ideology. Like the whole like a huge plot of the whole story is that the main character wants to like commit genocide. It's just like it's a very against a certain group of people, and a certain group of people are like victimized and woe is them, and then you want to get back to power. It's like a whole it's like it's a very obvious It's not that subtle when you actually think about it and you watch it, but
it's not like critical of
it. It doesn't sound subtle
it's
at all.
It's not like a, you know.
It's not like saying it's bad. No. It's not saying it's bad. It's purposely
like if Verhoeven was like hired to like make a live action Attack on Titan, he'd be like, okay, but I'm going to like make it really like clearly bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why, like, it's become, like, I think it started with the Reddit thread. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, internet. But, like, an alt-right person started being, like, I see all these messages of fascism or whatever in this anime or whatever. And it became this whole thing where, like, all the 4chan Reddit bros, alt-right idiots, are, like, they agreed. And then it came out later that, like, when you really think about it, it also has, like, a lot of historical Japanese, like, what's it called? Imperialist, like undertones. So it's just a whole thing. And
but then the interesting thing is that Paul Gosar doesn't know about any of this. He just has a meme team.
Right. Like, yeah. Of course.
They're gonna get what we're talking about. They're gonna get that. Like, this is their anime and this is their message and stuff.
Because they know.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Because they know. One of them at least had to know.
Yes.
That
absolutely.
This is the anime to use. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that a lot of these people have, like these like people on their team do it to really like, know the line. It's like why like Tucker Carlson had to fire like a 23-year-old Nazi. He's like, you found out.
You guys found out about the reason why we hired them. I want to move on to one more quick story before we do some broken news. We don't need to spend much time on this because TBD, but January 6th, guys, a collection of Donald Trump's records, including call logs, talking points,
TBD.
Speeches, memos, may be soon released to the January 6th House Committee from the National Archives. Obviously, he tried to get this stopped, you know, but it did not work out. He has already filed an appeal. But as of right now, it looks like it's going to happen, right, Jonathan?
So right before we started recording, a federal appeals court temporarily halted the transfer of those documents.
Wait, why?
Because Trump filed
the appeal went through?
Well, no. Trump filed the appeal and the appeals court is like, we're going to hear it. So this is not us judging the validity of his claims, but we're going to have a hearing in late November. So now
it is so ironic when they decide to be unbiased. Do you realize that? Like, we have to be fair and neutral here. You know, it's just so
we'll hear you out.
Like when the Supreme, when people were filing to stop the Texas abortion law from going through, the Supreme Court's like, we can't help you. This is
you're gonna have
to file. Exactly. But the DC Court of Appeals is like, well, this is a very important thing, and we can't. I guess the idea is that once those documents are given to the committee, they can't be ungiven.
I see.
Yeah.
So they're like,
that's the fucking point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Twitter blue. You can't undo that shit.
Yeah.
No, unsend. I do want to move on to broken.
Twitter blue will be undone in like a week.
I want to move on to broken news because there will be more on this in the days to come.
I just look forward to reading Trump's phone calls.
I just need to point out that the most enticing part of these documents is apparently a draft of an executive order on the topic of election integrity. So what that suggests is that on January 6th, he was trying to put out an executive order about the election.
Yeah, he was.
To stop the certification.
He was. That's our big boy.
Oh. So that is the key thing here. Key to what? Probably not any consequences, but
for sure
sounds
not.
Yummy.
Key to being the president again.
Yeah. All right. We've got a few more minutes. Jonathan.
Yes.
Broken news.
You got
Shireen,
it.
Just so you know, broken news is a new thing, which is basically just like the rest of the show, but Jonathan tries to lead us through quickly, but we never do it quickly. Mm-hmm. Some
bless
other
you, Jonathan.
But
what
that's
a,
half
what
the fun of
you
it.
That's half the fun to see how much we cram in.
Perpetual bless you for Jonathan.
Yeah, I got this mic and I'm like, I'm using this mic, so you better have stuff to say. So the first story here is that Elon Musk sold $5 billion in Tesla shares on Wednesday. At first, you might think, oh, this is him making good on his Twitter poll where he said he'd sell 10% of his Tesla shares, which is the only way he can pay tax since he doesn't take a salary. Mm-hmm. But he is not a gracious, good person. So he was going to do this anyway. He was awarded a bunch of stock options as compensation in 2012, which expire next year. So in order to exercise them, he has to pay income tax on them, which at Tesla's current share price will be about $15 billion. So he's got to get some cash.
Are you suggesting that he put that poll out because he knew he was going to do this already and he wanted points for doing the good thing that people decided for him to do?
I mean, I would not suggest that Elon Musk is capable of even one-dimensional chess, but yes, this
yes,
is...
but yes, that is what is happening. It's frustrating. It's stupid. I want to point out that apparently he still owns 166 million shares.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Such a drop in the bucket. Yeah, this is the whole crux of the issue with taxing billionaires, mm-hmm. is the argument being, oh, we don't actually take salary. All of our money is tied up in shares. So you can't tax us on our income.
But Musk takes it a step too far because he also interacts and is very vocal about, like, what was that one tweet? He was just like, if someone could tell me how exactly millions of dollars can help world hunger.
Yeah. Scum.
Let me know.
Scum shit.
He's scum.
And it's just like, no one is asking you to say that. No one is telling you to say that. You are purposely, like, exposing yourself as a fucking terrible person. And also, like, what really boggled my mind is, like, aren't you hailed as, like, this genius innovator? Like, why... You can't figure out how to fucking use your money well. I just
that's
can't.
The thing that I'm keep hitting on quite a bit in my mind. It's very frustrating. Like, aside from, like, all right, Jeff Bezos, are you a genius or did you come up with, like, delivering things and ordering mm-hmm. them online? Is that something that no one else would ever think of? Obviously not. But, like, you have literally, like, the most money, like, anyone's ever had on the planet in history. And, like, he recently made, like, built a fucking big boat. Big ass boat. Great.
Exactly. I saw that. Yeah.
Like, it's like there's just like a complete lack of imagination with these people where, like, even like you can't solve world hunger, maybe, but use your, you're supposed to be a genius. Use your brain. Come up with a way to do something.
He is Zaphod Beeblebrox from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm just thinking of it right now. The guy that's, you know, the crazy eccentric genius. But also incredibly stupid, where he
he's
can't
also like
think
not
of
eccentric.
Anything.
He's just like just awkward.
I know, but he wants to seem.
Oh, he
wants
no, he wants
like,
to be
I'm
that. He wants to be Iron Man.
Interesting.
He wants to be all the
things. And then he builds a fucking boat, and you're like, never mind. You know, it's just like I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's like
I desperately
he bought.
I desperately hope that if I had $300 billion or even $10 million, that I would not get my kicks making. PP jokes to senators on Twitter that I'd like,
I mean,
have right. others things
but Jonathan,
to do
you don't
time.
Know that kind of money does stuff to you.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll
you don't
break
know
your brain
change
and then
you'll, you don't yeah. know how you'll change with that kind of power, you
yeah.
know, it corrupts.
Yeah.
Corrupts.
That's the thing, because he talks a lot about possessions and, like, I don't like money, I don't like possessions. He lives in, like, a little cube in the desert or whatever, and, like, it's this sort of aesthetic, like, holding on to, like, no, I'm the money hasn't changed me. Look, I live in a box, but it has changed you. If you're online trolling people about how billions and billions of dollars can't feed people on the planet, then it has broken your brain a little bit. It has changed you. Like, the amount of money that, like, even something like, it's not even that imaginative, but, like, you could change everybody's life on the planet for, like, a year. 1 year. Take 1 year and say, for 1 year, you don't have to worry about food or shelter. 1 year. And then stop. Like, the amount, like, the things that would change.
You would be
across the globe because
beloved.
Of that. Just because of that for that 1 year, or like half a year or whatever. I don't know. It's frustrating.
He would be, like, universally beloved if he did something like that. We would all change our tune. If he just and he would not even feel it. He wouldn't even feel the effects.
It's a drop in the fucking bucket. But also, it's like, what I get frustrated by, it's like this word solve, or like this absolute, like, utopia, good, bad, so black and white. It's like, we're not asking you, I'm not asking him to fucking fix the entire world, but he can lessen the damage and the hurt and the suffering significantly. You're not going to solve world hunger, but you might make a huge difference to billions of people. You know, so like that, isn't that worth it? Like, you know, like,
no.
Right. Well, and like even his like viewpoint of like, you know, got to get to Mars, got to do this, got to like innovation, all that kind of thing. If you do that and you change people's lives in that way significantly where they have opportunity or just like surviving better, like they're not, they don't have the stress of like, where's my next meal going to come from? All this sort of thing. You don't know what kind of brilliant people you're going to help. And that could maybe help you get to fucking Mars if you want. Like,
did you see what Ben Shapiro said about people with higher IQ will... It's like he was saying that, like, it is an objective fact that parents that are scientists will have children with higher IQs than like people on welfare, and that's like a fact.
Oh my god! And,
it is disgusting.
See that.
It is disgusting.
Yeah.
This is one of those banned courses that are going to be taught at Barry Weiss's school, I bet.
Yeah, but also like the idea of an IQ is so man-made. Like, are you serious? Like, that's who you're going to measure someone's intelligence? I think that's so stupid, because it's like a
there's one number,
standardized
there's a number
test.
And it means everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's a whole other thing. It's just like,
also,
it's
like
devastating that, like,
yeah,
who knows what kind of minds are out there,
who knows.
Yeah,
there's like, what do you how do you know those people on welfare aren't like intelligent, like, or that their children won't be, or like what?
Yeah.
Like, it's just nonsense.
He does try to save himself. He's like, not all people. He's like,
oh good,
you know what I mean? But like,
yeah, there's a
but enough of a reason not to care about them, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, he equates poverty with intelligence and, like,
yeah, he's talking eugenics.
Like,
he's talking about eugenics.
Yeah. He
like,
is talking about eugenics.
Like,
that's exactly what's happening. Look, we've done exactly one story in this broken news rapid fire.
Yeah.
And
I say one last thing?
Yeah, of course.
When Cody was talking about Mars and all of that, I reminded myself that Elon Musk and all these people, Bezos or whatever, their actions with their money is all about their ego. So it's all about them being this genius, innovator, whatever guy, or getting a complete fucking facelift like Bezos, whatever he wants to do. It's all about ego, you know? And I think we have to find a way that helping people appeals to their ego. Like, we have to treat them like
we have to manipulate them.
Yes. And I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but I'm sure there's a way that we, like, maybe there's an alternate universe where it actually, like, a timeline where it worked. But I think that's the one, like, yeah.
Yeah. Appealing to their ego to do an actual good thing. Yeah.
Well, just in general, like, what is it that they want? They want their legacy. They want to be known as these amazing men for all of they want their legacy to last long after they're gone. And apparently all their money to just sit in a bank account. I don't know.
I don't understand.
My point is that the only way, that the real way to accomplish that would be to do great services of generosity for the world.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, enshrine your legacy by positively affecting people's
lives.
You'll
have statues throughout the world.
You could create many other legacies by helping
You'd be a fucking god. Like, literally, you would be, like,
you would
people
be a god.
Would be so indebted to you. They would, like, you know what
national
I mean?
Holidays. All the national holidays.
Yeah. I don't understand this obsession with hoarding massive amounts of wealth to the point where I can't even, like, comprehend how much it is. It's like, why?
I think it's a sickness. I think I do think that there is something that changes in you and, you know, a disassociation. Perhaps
I agree.
We can justify a lot of shit to ourselves if we really want to. So
Jonathan, watch out. You will build a boat. You will build a boat.
Guys.
You will.
As soon as I stop buying those $4 lattes, I'll be on my way.
Yeah.
I think Bezos is a separate case a little bit, because he is just like, all right, you delivery service. I do think Musk has a very specific, like, he's a very one-track mind. Like, he just believes that we have to get a self-sustainable colony on Mars. Like, that is his goal, and if it doesn't do that, then he doesn't care about it. He's just very myopic in that way and doesn't sort of see the big picture on, like, how could we make that go faster. Is it you hoarding your wealth and having this company and, like, working people to the bone to do this, or is it like we've been talking about?
He could buy a direct air capture company, pretend that he invented it, and then put a lot of money into increasing its capacity, and then we can suck
direct air capture. That's the carbon. I mean, that's the thing. That's the kind of shit that we need. And the problem with it is that it's too expensive. But not if people start investing in it and make it happen, then it won't be too expensive. And the way that we can do that is with billionaires investing.
Also, like, if you really think about it, the fact that this man-made concept of money and expensiveness is even, like, a thing that we're questioning or to save the fucking planet. Like, that is so sad to me that we've come to this point in society where it's like, are the richest people in the world gonna help save us or not? And like, it's just, I don't know.
No. Save us with the money that we made up.
Yeah, just it's made up. Everything is so made up. And maybe I'm just going through a phase where, like, I think we're living in this fucking matrix or something. But, like, it's so... Everything seems sillier to me. Every
because you dipped out and you dipped back in, man.
Yeah, it's silly. You stop
with the news.
Yeah.
It is silly.
It's, well, and we just know so much about how, like... And we know so little, too. But, like, about how the universe works and, like, what actually... we are, what are we made up of, how do we get here, all this stuff. We know this now. Money's stupid. Like, what is stopping us?
Anyway, my whole point is, like, go do shrooms. It's fun. And then
I agree,
you know.
And advice. I think I will. I appreciate that. Guys, we don't really have time for more broken news. One last fun one.
It'll take one sentence. People magazine named Paul Rudd sexiest man alive. What do you all think about that?
Good for him.
I think it's fun. I find him sexy. Do I think he's the sexiest man alive?
Well, the sexiest man alive, I'm sure, is just some guy somewhere.
Exactly.
This is the sexiest famous actor.
I saw that tweet. Yeah. The sexiest guy is just like some guy that no one knows about. And also, the sexy is the most subjective bullshit. But I don't get Paul Rudd's appeal, really. But I swear to God, when I first heard the news, I was like, I felt like it already happened. I was like, didn't this happen like 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like, I really felt, I was just like, I don't know what it was. I just think it's just like a cycling of the same kind of dude that
it is.
Yeah. Yep.
The same kind of affable looking white man.
Yeah.
I also like,
I do think he's cute.
I mean, objectively, he's cute and he seems nice.
And
like,
I
understand.
Would I
that.
Want to be married to a Paul Rudd type? Yeah, I would, except for the actor part. But
yeah, he's charming. It's fine.
I don't want to be married to the sexiest man alive.
I just find it funny whenever they do like comparisons of him from like 20 years ago. It's like, wow, what's your secret? You don't age. First of all, the secret is he's a fucking millionaire Hollywood actor.
Has access to so many things like skincare.
Second of all,
and surgery. And
he looks older.
He does.
He did age.
Also, like, it's normal too. That's fucking
it's completely
what time
normal.
And gravity does.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good for 50.
He looks good for his age, but again, it's like he has aged.
Yeah.
But what's also his secret? A life of luxury.
Mm-hmm.
Being cast in a Marvel movie where he's paid to look healthy and be healthy.
And they pay for your personal trainer and your diet. And, you know, not that acting isn't stressful, because it certainly is sometimes long sets, but you're paid very well and money makes things easier.
Yeah, everything easier. It gives you the luxury of not making any decisions. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, you don't have to decide between, like, do I use my check to pay rent or get a fucking laptop or whatever. That's very...
Yeah, freeze
out
your
of
brain
my ass.
Completely.
Yeah. But...
not something you've thought about at all at any point.
No, not at all. It's not not personal.
Rent or a pivotal tool for work.
I don't know. But I... one... Who fucking decides? The concept of sexiest anything ever is so stupid to me. But like, one, who decides those things? And two, I was just surprised because like, maybe I'm too out of the loop, but like, Paul Rudd hasn't been talked about recently, right? Like, he's not like in the zeitgeist. Like, all of a sudden, it's like Paul Rudd is sexy. It's like, I haven't seen him all year. Why? I don't know. It was just weird to me. Like, why?
I mean, he,
now?
You're right. He paid for this. His publicist made a backdoor deal.
I'm sure People Magazine is in contact with everyone who has like a movie coming out in October or November. I mean, he's in this new Ghostbusters movie.
It's absolutely that. It's absolutely Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Is the
Mystery
Ghostbuster
solved.
Movie supposed to be good? It looks kind of cute in the trailer.
I don't know.
We'll find
I've heard
out.
Right. Things.
I mean, I'm going to leave this in and everyone's going to, you know, yell at me online. Because
no,
it,
I'm sure it's very mixed.
You haven't seen
I'm
it
sure it's very mixed. I'm not looking forward to that much because it doesn't seem Ghostbusters-y to me, but I'm an old man, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fine or not. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
But did you hear? It's got the sexiest man alive.
Finn
Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Now I'm
interested. That's right. This has been so much fun. Shireen, thank you so much for joining us again today. You're a delight. Tell our listeners where they can find you online. Plug your stuff. All the things.
Thanks. Thank you for having me again. It's a joy to be mad with you guys. Yeah. My normal
cathartic
state.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Now go back to not reading the news.
Exactly. Yes. It's either mad. I'm either mad or tripping on shrooms. But
wait, that's what we should do. Come over to my house. My backyard's beautiful. We can cut this out of the podcast. I've got some great shrooms. But come over.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'm not joking.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Apologies that I ramble and cut and interrupt. It's harder. I'm going to blame Zoom, but I also
need to
work on it as a person. So I understand that.
No, you're in good company. Here I am literally doing it too. It's hard. I'll just say that.
But also,
I have to say.
All right.
I think about this a
that
lot.
Was good.
I don't
I did
know.
Like that.
It's like it's a little bit of a skill I've developed working with a lot of sorry men, or just in general, I think Zoom. But like, sometimes you kind of have to interject, and then I get self-conscious of it, where I'm like, wait. It's not working. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a person talking over someone.
I've lost the plot, you know, like.
You were saying sorry men, not you've worked with sorry men, right?
Sorry, comma?
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, comma men? Okay.
Not sorry men. Love the men I work with. anyway, continue.
It was fun. And bring me back and I would love to be angry again.
Great.
Or we can do a field trip where we're all doing shrooms. Anyway, I'll stop talking about that now. I'm Shireen. You can follow me if you want to. It's on Twitter. It's ShiroHero666. Instagram is just ShiroHero. I'm supposed to write and direct things. I'm right now just in a space where I'm trying to exist. But if you want to just stay tuned and follow me, please come along. That's the most honest answer.
Existing is the most important job you have.
Yeah. Existing and being nice to myself is a full-time job. Like genuinely, like not dying each day, not going to get too morbid with that. But like being nice to yourself and existing, again, if you have the luxury of not having to worry about everyday survival needs, it's a full-time job. It's just like, I shouldn't even call it a job. It's just fucking life.
It's life. Yeah. It's life. Full-time it's life. Quickly, I'm realizing it. It is a job, but no, it's just what you need to do to survive.
Yeah. It's like what existence should be. It's what existence should be. And then we're convinced that the other reality of like working till we're dead is the real world. When really it's not. Like really it's just trying to exist and be in nature and, you know, just think about the world and your mind and evolve as a person. It's really depressing to me. I don't know. It's
our priorities are so out of whack. We could do a whole show just talking about this. Yeah. And maybe we will. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, thank you again. It's been fun. Weird.
Guys, it has been
fun.
I just wanted to say real quick before we go to not forget.
Say it.
That we love you very much.
Very much.
Man. Shh, 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 shh. Woman. End record.